to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. On this episode, I talk to Kyla Myers about the recent San Antonio Cake Show and some of our favorite rising stars from that and other recent shows. And we pay a whole lot of worship to the cake god himself, the one and only Mike McCary. And even though Mike never approves of us worshiping him so much, he's still got some encouraging words for you at the end of the show. So whether you're working hard on an order due this weekend, planning your next competition masterpiece, or flying between shows all over the world, sit back and let our love of this industry and art form get you through your next hour. With me now is Kyla Myers, who owns Crazy Cakes in Austin and is one of the leaders of the Austin Cake Show and one of my favorite people in the universe. And I also call her the Cake Nexus. Hey, Kyla.
Hiya.
So what's been happening?
Well, let's see. I just came back from the San Antonio Show, which is put on by Frosting Creators. They're the cake club there in San Antonio. The two main people in charge of the show, I think, were Cindy Autry and Amy Ford. They did just a brilliant job. What I enjoyed most about the San Antonio show was that I was not working. Yay! So that was really cool. I got the opportunity to do some things that I don't get a chance to do at my show, which was shop. Yay. Mm-hmm. I got to visit with all of my friends. So, you know, I had dinner with Mike and Michelle and Sydney from Simi Cakes. I got another dinner night that I had dinner with Michelle Boyd and Mallory May and Sachiko. And we went out and had Vietnamese. And, you know, it's just really fun to not have any responsibilities. Ruth Rickey, I caught up with her while she was there. And she said, Kyla, I can't believe I'm seeing you shopping and just enjoying yourself and hanging out with people. And I was like, I know, isn't it awesome?
Did you even need a Snickers the whole time?
I didn't even need a Snickers. I was just in such a great mood. Although, let me just blame Ruth Rickey now for probably elevated sugar levels for a week. I don't know if you know this, but Ruth makes phenomenal fudge.
Mm-hmm.
And so she just brought trays and trays of all kinds of different flavors. And I had already knew that her salted caramel was wonderful because she'd brought that to me before. But this time she brought things like toasted coconut. She even had a root beer float. And there was pina colada. I mean, they were all fabulous.
If Ruth has done a thing, it's been done well.
Yeah.
We know. I have to get her on the show. I have to suck up to Ruth, but she's so busy all the time.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen the pictures of how she packs up her little mini. But you have never seen so much stuff in one little tiny car. There's just room for Ruth and a myriad of boxes.
She's probably got that nailed down to an art, too.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. She's got that thing packed like, you know, somebody would pack a truck for sending across the States. It's incredible. But she's done it a few times.
Yeah, well, I guess it's like the Galperins in their camper van full of all their stuff.
Exactly. And then sometimes they manage to stay at the camp parks, the KOA campgrounds as well, which I think that they also have a sponsorship from, which is pretty darn cool.
Oh, that is
so
cool.
So if there's a nearby KOA, they stay at the KOA and they kind of commute in a short distance to whatever show they're at. So, you know, they get to experience the great outdoors and travel across the U.S. I think that'd be pretty cool to do.
Yeah, there was. I mean, obviously with Ruth, that's why she called herself Sugar Gypsy.
True.
Yeah. So how was the competition? I've been seeing some of the pictures from San Antonio.
It was very good. It's a much smaller show than Austin, but it's growing every year. And they had not a huge number of cakes, but really great quality. The cakes that were entered were really, really nice. Our friend Joe Meany, who had done that... I think I just mispronounced her name. Is it Minnie? Because I was just teasing her at the show about being called Meany, not being called Minnie. Anyway, sorry, Joe. She did a super cute little queen bee cake, little tiny thing. And if you remember at our show, she did that wonderful piano.
Mm-hmm.
So another one about the same size, little queen bee, just adorable.
With that leathered look on the base again, I saw.
Yeah, really neat stuff. And her little figures on it were super cute. And then Sarah Weber from our own club did a beautiful sort of another bee, kind of a queen bee, but a full bust. It was just really nicely done. And she had little bees on her breastbone and stuff. It was real fun. Timbo Sullivan, of course, did a beautiful piece. I think he was frustrated because he didn't finish the piece. There were some pieces that he didn't get time to put in along the baseboard and stuff. But, you know, Timbo does great work, and most people wouldn't even notice if it wasn't finished. Of course, Timbo notices, but the rest of us are like, oh, isn't that wonderful?
That's all of us. We all do that to ourselves.
Exactly. Sam Plant, who we talked about before, did a wedding cake. He really stretched himself to do a wedding cake this year. He used Simi's coach, the sort of princessy coach for the top.
The mat and, thing, yeah.
Yeah, the mat from Simi Cakes. And it was really nicely done. Beautiful job on that. I think Shanna did a couple herself.
Yeah, there was a picture of the two of them with their stuff, yeah. Well, did they have a theme this year?
Yes, it was royalty.
Oh, that's so why the bees. Okay.
And, you know, stuff like that. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, I should have thought about that because I was seeing all my friends who were instructors being put with the purple and the tiara.
Uh-huh. And Timbo had done the snake god. Is it Anubis? Anubis? I don't even remember how to pronounce that. but... yeah, really, really nice pieces, and they added classes this year outside, external rooms around the building, and they have some very nice instructors there. Of course, Satchiko taught a class, Mallory taught a class, Michelle Boyd, Jackie Kelly, Dawn Parrott, you know, top-notch instructors.
Mm-hmm.
They were like us at the end of the show, like, oh, I'm never doing this again. And I was like, I know exactly how you feel. But, you know, give it a few months and then you'll probably change your tune and think, oh, yeah, let's do this. And then at the end of the show, once more, you'll be like, why are we doing this to ourselves?
So, but they've gone to a 2-day event now.
Yes.
Is this the first year?
I hadn't been to their show before, but I think before it was... there was a day of sharing kind of element to it, but it was a straight up show this year.
Right. Cause this is the same show where I took the Singing in the Rain thing, but that was when it was a day of sharing, right?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Cause it must be Frosting Creators. I have a bag that says Frosting Creators on it.
They really outdid themselves in their goodie bags. Very nice. And as a matter of fact, I said to them, you're making me look bad here. I'm going to have to up my game, obviously.
I'll tell you right now, any goodie bag looks good. It's one of the things I'm going to do on another one of these episodes is talk about getting competitors to come to your show. Because a thing that I keep finding here, particularly with the little shows here, the little BSG shows or the other little, I mean, obviously Cake International will always get competitors because it's Cake International. It can ride on its own prestige, but with some of the other shows, they're like, why aren't we getting competitors? And I'm like, well, have you thought about a goodie bag? What do you mean? Like, it's not even a thing here. And there's not even a prize pack if you win. I mean, sometimes there's a trophy, sometimes you don't even get to take it home or you don't get to keep it, it has to be returned or whatever. So I'm planning to do a whole episode on how to attract competitors, because obviously as a competitor, you know, I don't really want to go as a competitor to something like the Cake and Bake Show, because the competition part is so small that it doesn't really entice me to come and do that. I mean, I did a competition piece for that one Cake and Bake Show. I went to the Renshaw little competition because they had a prize pack, and it was a small thing I could take on the train in the tube. And that's how I met Jackie Kelly, because she was a judge for that. And so we met over 80 grams of paste. 80 grams of sugar paste was the limit. But yeah, so I was planning to get into that because I think that that is a big deal for our show and for obviously for San Antonio too. If you have a goodie bag, it makes people feel better even if their piece falls flat or didn't perform as well. It takes kind of some of the sting off of not doing as well as you hoped.
Right. It's nice. It's nice to have a goodie bag and, you know, theirs had cookie cutters and pen blades and just all kinds of fun stuff. And, you know, I'm just like any other little kid when they get a goodie bag, you know, you shake it out on your bed and like, what did I get? Ooh, look at that. That's cool.
I'm such a sucker for a goodie bag. I'll tell you right now, that's like about a third of the reason I even want to go to the Cake Masters Awards is because I know there's a goodie bag, and which is ridiculous because it's an expensive dinner. And probably the products in it don't even add up to the dinner, but the cost. But it doesn't matter because I'm such a sucker for a goodie bag. I mean, the other 2/3 are because I want to go to the prestigious award show and pretend like I'm a, you know, an important cake person and hang out with the important people at that. But yeah, I want a goodie bag. So did you compete in this?
No, I thought about it, but I wasn't actually sure until closer to the event that I was going to be able to make it. So by the time that I decided, yeah, I'm definitely going to go, I didn't have time. It was too late to register. So maybe next year I'll get a chance because obviously I never get time to compete at our own show. So it would have been nice to do that at some point. You know, I'll get around to it.
Yes, you should totally do that because, I mean, that's the thing, particularly for our show. People are like, oh, she makes cakes too? Like, yeah, she does that. she's not just here because she can crunch numbers and databases and all the other stuff that Kyla does.
I'm so busy all the time, though. It's like there's always some wonderful collaboration going on Facebook, and I get invited to a lot of them, and, you know, I just don't get time to do very many. I've done a couple, and, of course, I'm running my own collaboration right now. So I just, you know, thinking I've got to get to work on something for that too.
Yeah. In fact, actually, so I guess we're still keeping that hush, yours hush until it comes out. Right. But cause I'm in that and that is I have to make Robin's birthday cake next week. Like I was just posting on Facebook. I thought I had to make it this week because I was so messed up with dates and I'm so tired because everyone's been so sick. And so when Corin said to me, because I was ordering stuff for the cake for Sunday. And he's like, but you're not doing the cake this Sunday. I'm like, yes, I am. And he says, no, the 28th is another week away. You're going with your friends to London this weekend. I'm like, oh my God. It was like, I won the time lottery. But yeah, so next week I have to make Robin's birthday cake. And then when I'm recovered from Robin's party, the next cake I'm making is for your collaboration.
Yay.
So, and I know what I'm doing. It's just a question of then, you know, finding the time and sitting down and doing it.
Exactly. That in itself is the problem, but I'm very happy we've got some great collaborators, and I know you know the backstory, but I've been thinking about doing this collaboration for a long time because a friend of mine's daughter has a very rare and just debilitating disease, and I wanted to bring some focus to that, some attention to that, and maybe help a little bit with a fundraiser. So, you know, I've invited people in to do that, and I've been very fortunate to have some great people like yourself and Mike McCary to do a piece for my collaboration. And Mike gave me a hard time. He's like, you know, Kyla, I wouldn't do this for anybody else but you. So you tell him, don't even think about asking me because I don't have time to do collaborations. But for you, I will do this. So I'm really pleased to have some really talented people to help out. And one of the organizations that helps with this disease is also helping, and they're really excited about it. And some of our sponsors like Renshaw are helping out. And some of the other folks like Simi Cakes are giving discounts on their products. So, you know, we should have some really cool pieces, and I can't wait till we've finished it so I can talk more about that.
So our pictures are due by September. So right. We can come back on and in September, and we can do a whole promo for it at the time, and, you know, post sure. links to the pictures and stuff. But for now, we have to be very cagey because it's, you know, it's building up the suspense and the momentum. But yes, there will be Cake Nexus and Cake God at the same time. I'm gonna have to play the sound cues I have for both of you right here.
Cake Nexus.
Mike McCary, he's the Cake God.
Because I just now I'm just amused that I have a Cake Nexus sound cue and a Cake God sound cue, because after when Dawn Parrott was on the show a couple episodes ago and she mentioned his name, I was thinking I really need to have like a choral voice that comes on every time we talk about Mike McCary.
Nice.
And
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I know. It'll mean he never comes on my show. Except
gives me a hard time for calling him the cake god.
Well, he shouldn't be so awesome. That's his fault. He brought that on himself.
A little bit, Mike.
That's right. You were saying to me recently about someone having not heard of him. A lot of people in England I had found hadn't. They don't know who he is, and I'm always like, how can you not know who Mike McCary is? Because, I mean, everyone here knows who Nick Lodge is, because obviously he's from here, and was heavily involved with the stuff here. But I guess because they haven't had the Food Network Challenge shows so much, people haven't seen him. His work, but so I'll put a link in the show notes to Mike's Amazing Cakes because it's really probably the most accurately named business ever.
It really is, and he is amazing. I think more people are getting to know him over there since he's been going over for the Cake Masters Awards and that kind of stuff and teaching classes here and there overseas.
Yeah, when he did his demo of modeling chocolate at NEC, there were a lot of drop jaws around me because modeling chocolate hasn't really caught on that much in the States as much as it probably should, but even less so here at the time. And so when you've seen Mike's demos, and when he does his thing and it stands up and he can just make it, because as it cools, it gets more rigid, and it's Mike. He can just bend it to his will. Watching some people who had never seen this medium used before, and the first time they see it, it's in the hands of Mike McCary. I mean, remember, I was having a terrible day. I was sick. This was a very bad day for me, but that was a beautiful moment watching people watch Mike for the first time.
And then he makes it so easy. I mean, everybody over here, you know, has probably used modeling chocolate at one point or another, or had the frustration of making their own and this or that not working, but it's one of those things that in the hands of Mike McCary, it is always perfect. Even all the times he was on Food Network, and you know, if you've got blaring lights in there and it's hotter than heck and the other people their fondant is melting on them, but oh no, there's Mike McCary over there standing up a beautiful piece of chocolate.
Yeah,
in blaring lights. It doesn't dare misbehave around him.
I know, that's why we call him the cake god, because things bend to his will. Other than us, apparently. Well, he kept teasing me during his demo too. He knew I was sick, and he knew I'd been having a bad day with that whole bronze mess up thing, and so he was trying to cheer me up when it worked. I mean, there's nothing quite as good in a cake show as Mike McCary's up there doing a demo and starts talking about your stuff, and I'm like, oh, you're so nice to me, and I'm so sick sitting here. I hope he comes back to NEC this year, but I don't know if he can justify the trip every year, especially because they'll obviously be rotating. He was the special guest. They'll have someone else being the special guest.
I'm sure if they ask him, he'll be happy to go back because there's just so much to see. And I think when he was there last, he took his daughter to the Harry Potter studio, and that, of course, was just, you know, he was god of the house, I think, at his own house for that. He said it was amazing, so.
That cake he just made for her that he just posted on Facebook the other day. The car and the signpost. And I was thinking, look, Mike covered a board.
Oh, I know. I saw that too, and I was like, oh my gosh, Mike McCary covered his board. It's never happened before.
But not right to the edge. You could still see the foil. I was like, this is the most Mike McCary covered board ever.
I do laugh because whenever someone has a conversation about that, whether it's Liz Merrick or Jake Qualls or someone else going off of people, are like, cover your boards. Well, unless you're Mike McCary. If you're Mike McCary, you can get away with not covering the board. But if you're not Mike McCary, cover your board.
I just wrote up a little how-to for Don Butler, because it's a long story to why I was doing it. But I was writing up about a cake I did a couple years ago for some other reason, and that sort of fell through. And so I realized, well, I used Cake Frame to do this. So, hey, Don, do you want me to write this up since I've already just done all this work? Do you want it for whatever purposes she put on her website? I just gave it to her. I said, do whatever you want with it. But as I was writing it, I didn't cover the board for that because it was for my own birthday cake. And right. So I put in the notes, I said, optional, you can cover your board. I didn't bother. And same thing, like also because I made a Rice Krispie treat. It's her pouring kit. This is the cake, I don't know if you remember, it was 2015 for my birthday. I made, it looks like a piping bag floating. And it's, and so it's supposed to be the pouring kit, but I did something that wasn't pouring. So it's like a different use of the kit. And so, you know, I put in the directions that, yeah, if you want it to be smoother on the Rice Krispie treats, you could dip it in chocolate or coat it in modeling chocolate in the candy melts. But I didn't bother. Like, because I'm trying to show, like, it, you know, I mean, yeah, if you're selling that cake, then yeah, cover your board and cover your Rice Krispies with chocolate to smooth it out. But if you're making this to amuse yourself, you don't need, I don't cover the boards at home.
Exactly.
It's time for a podcast helpful reminder. Are you working on a competition piece? Are you working on a client cake? When was the last time you checked the rules for your competition entry? When was the last time you read your client contract to make sure that you're spelling that name right? You're working really hard, I know, but every once in a while, you need to pause, go check that you're doing it right, because you're an amazing artist, but we all make mistakes. So right now, if you can pause, go check what you need to do, make sure it fits in the space that it needs to go into, make sure everything's spelled right, and then get back to work, because you're awesome.
I'm probably not going to cover the board for Robin's cake. Well, maybe I will for Robin's cake. I don't know. I'm going to, for Robin's cake, I'm going to do, because she's so obsessed with cats, and I've had this idea I want to do, or I do, like, stripes, but then, like, alternating colors, and then do a cutout in the middle and change it in the middle so that it shows the outline, but also by altering the color, it's more than just an impression. So I want to do that with some cat cutters that I have, and then I'll do a ball of yarn on top. There's a cover of one of Debbie Brown's books, right, with the pink yarn ball.
Yes,
and the cat.
And
yeah, so I'm actually going to make that as like a mini cake on top of the stripey cake because Rob is just obsessed with cats and pink, and she can't have cats because I'm allergic. So,
right.
And we're in a rental anyway, but that's the real reason is because I'm allergic. So we're having a full cat themed party and a stripey cake, and she's told me what colors she wants, you know, but I don't think she or any of the people there will notice if I cover my board. So I will do that if I feel like it needs it. I'm probably going to use my cake frame for that too, just because that way I can go taller without being heavy. So yeah, I don't know that there could be a reason to cover the board so that you make sure when you're serving to kids, they don't get any of the blanking caps.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe it is worth it.
Well, she's probably lucky to, you know, get a cake homemade by a cake artist, because you and I know we're like the cobbler's kids, right, who never has shoes.
No, my kids get cakes. It was even a thing when we were doing the adoption agent said, put in your book, like, because you make a, for those who don't know, if you're adopting a baby, the way it works in the U.S., the agencies want you to make a photo book, because they present that to the birth parents, because birth parents choose you most of the time. That's how that works. So you're part of what you're showing is this is the household that the kids will be in. And because obviously they'd been to my house and seen all the old show cakes and the cake tools, and this was obviously a thing I declared, this is my job, this is what I do. The agent was just like so adamant that make sure you put a bunch of cakes in the book, because that's really going to sell you as a mom. And I'm like, okay, because I'd done so many cakes for Payo. And well, that's how I found you, is because of a cake for Payo. Because when I moved to Austin, I wanted to find someone to teach me how to pour sugar. And this is before the internet had, like, videos on that.
Right.
And I looked up and saw there was, oh, there's a thing called the Capital Confectioners Cake Club. I'll go to that. And that was the night that the president was stepping down.
Oh, wow. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. And you, so there was a by-election and you became president.
I don't even remember now what year that was, so.
2008.
It's been a long time. People are like, how long have you been president? I don't know. I've lost track of time.
for life. That's why I call you El Presidente for life. But no, it was that night. And because you had spoken to me as like a newbie, like you'd been nice. And then you seemed to know what you were doing. So all of a sudden it was time to vote. I was like, all right, I'm voting for that lady because I know who, I already know her name. Like,
I don't even know if anybody ran against me then.
Yes, someone did. Someone did. I don't know who.
It's been a long time. Yeah, I'm always begging, hey, you know, somebody should run for this position. Yeah, sorry, Kyle, you stuck with it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that was a nice try when you used to try to groom me for it. It's like, nope, not it. Not doing that. I see how much work that is.
But we did get a couple of people running for our vice president this year, and a couple running for secretary, and even a couple running for our new position, which is member at large. And but we have a good group this year. Our new vice president is TN Bowie, and our new our secretary is still Carol, which is good. She's done a great job. And our new member at large is Judy Yu, who is one of our or really our volunteer coordinator. So she'll be good. She knows everybody, and she's very competent at what she does. And yeah, I think we have a good group. I think it'll go well.
That's cool. Yeah, Judy's super sweet.
Yeah.
We were just saying that I should have her on the show and talk about volunteer management.
Yeah, absolutely. She does a phenomenal job, and she did such a great job in the last couple of years. And she did so much shopping. We gave her a budget this past year for raffle items for volunteers. So over the years, you know, we've always had a, you know, a raffle item here and there, but we really kind of ramped that up to make it more favorable to be a volunteer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of the things our volunteer gets are like free t-shirts and stuff like that. But Judy, we gave her a budget this last year. We're like, go forth and do some shopping for raffle items. Well, she did so much shopping that she told us the other day, I was sick of shopping. I was so tired of shopping. I never wanted to have to step into Michael's or Joanne's or Hobby Lobby ever again. I was so tired of shopping.
I remember her posting about asking what volunteers would like. And at first we were being so not helpful because we were saying the big ticket items that it was never, the speed rack. We all want the speed rack and the KitchenAid. And okay. And then, but you know,
nice things though. I mean, there was a mixer, a big Cuisinart mixer, mm-hmm. and there was this beautiful basket that was donated by Kate Connection. It was worth a couple thousand, I think, or $1,000.
Is that the thing that Carol won?
Basket. Yeah, and Carol won that, our secretary, and she was so excited about that, and her kids were even more excited, I think. She will never need any more dust or disco dust in her life. I can tell you this because I won a bunch of their disco dust years ago.
Mm-hmm, and me too.
I still have tons of it. I will never have to buy another thing of disco dust, I swear. But they're really great quality and really fun to use.
It was in either the prize pack I got for Showcakes when I was either first or second. So it was either 2010 or 2011. It was in one of those prize packs. And there again, it's one of the things I'm going to talk about with the whole competitor thing, is you need to have prize packs. Again, unless you're Cake International, where the prestige alone, you need to, like, the winners should be winning something.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that's almost a British cultural thing. I think I've probably talked to you about this before in the past, but, you know, I used to watch sometimes the British game shows, and there's a few of them that I like Mastermind or Countdown. Countdown was my favorite sort of afternoon game show. And you know how our game shows over here are, and you've just won a new car, and you've just won a 3-week vacation in Honolulu. And in England, it would be like, 3 weeks you've been on this boat. Oh my God, you've won Countdown. And for that, you've won this set of encyclopedias. You're like, what? You won the honor of reading off the credits kind of thing. You know? It's totally a different name. Really, I think that the culture there is that they love to compete. So the having the prizes isn't is quite as important, but it definitely helps bring people in. Of course, when you're talking about Cake International itself, that is
exactly, yeah,
such a prestigious place to win at that, you know, they don't need prizes. But I think there's a little bit of fear that if we start giving away prizes, then everybody will have to give away prizes. And then, we've opened up Pandora's box.
Okay. So I've registered a business here for Cake stuff, but I haven't made any money. Although it's gotten complicated now because I was just talking to the accountant that because I got some money from our show, but it's offsetting airfare, so I haven't actually made money. This stuff is complicated and hard, and I just want to be an artist and make pretty things. Mm-hmm. I am terrible at business. Well, this is why I've avoided having a proper cake business for the longest time, is because I just have no joy for the back-end bookkeeping, and I have so much respect for those who do it.
And, you know, it's a skill that's, you know, not inherent. One of the folks up at San Antonio, not part of the group, but somebody who was competing that I've known for a long time, she is a CPA, and she said to me, do you think if I, you know, I applied to teach a class in accounting, what people can write off on their taxes and this kind of stuff, that anybody would go? She's like, it's kind of dry stuff, but, you know, it's valuable. And I said, you know, I think people would take a class in that. I said, maybe not a 3-hour class in that, but, you know, an hour class, an hour and a half class that went over things that you can write off. Like, we get asked all the time to do cakes for charity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do a few a year, and we can write some of those off. But a lot of people don't think about the fact that they can write some of this stuff off for a cake that's going to charity. So you don't have to turn down every cake that comes in for charity. Obviously, you can't do them all. But you can, if you get a letter from them saying that you've done this cake and it's valued at whatever, you can write some of that off. So I think that there's some real value in having a class like that, especially if you're, you know, not hiring a CPA.
Yeah, I would imagine a class like that would, especially if it was shorter and obviously less expensive than like a hands-on type class.
Right.
I mean, because we've had classes where people are showing how to do websites or videos or start the business or run the back end on this way or that way. And I think those classes have always done well, haven't they?
Yep. Business classes, usually at least one business class usually does well at every show. And we've had some great business classes with people like Mike McCary at the Morning Kitchens. Marina Sousa's done one. We had someone else this year that did one. So usually those classes do fairly well. I mean, I don't think we could sell a bunch of them, but, you know, one at every show.
Yeah.
Well, people find that stuff useful because it's kind of mysterious to some people. They just don't have a clue. I think that another thing that would be good would be a class in how to price your cakes. Because I don't know about you, but, you know, every day.
Yeah, every day. It's
some groups have banned people actually asking. Because they would throw a picture of a cake up and say, how much would you charge for this cake? And, you know, people like myself and Jake Balls and, you know, Lizzo and all these other people would be like, it's not rocket science pricing a cake. You have your ingredients that go into the cake. You have your time, which you should charge for. So you can build out a formula on how much you should charge for a cake. And it's just, you know, don't undercharge, for goodness sake, for your cakes, because you don't really want to be paying people to make their cakes or mm-hmm. losing money to make a cake. So I think that one of the big problems in the industry is that people underprice their cakes. They're undercutting other people in their area, which doesn't go favorably with the other people in the area. But they also know that that person is going to burn themselves out or they're going to go broke eventually. Mm-hmm. So they might for a while be undercutting them and doing better than them, but in the long run, they're not hurting anybody but themselves because they're going to burn themselves out. They're mm-hmm. going to be doing cakes constantly because they're cheap. That's so right. They're going to constantly be going, getting orders in, and they're going to have a messy kitchen all the time. They're not going to be making any money. And one day they're going to wake up and say, oh my goodness, I don't have a family life. My kitchen's always a mess, and I'm not making any money. Why the heck am I doing this?
And I've made 4,000 Paw Patrol and frozen cakes, and I hate my life.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So, I mean, that's why, I mean, I priced high. In part, to be really honest, I don't want constant cake orders because it's not my focus. I mean, obviously the experimental stuff and the competition stuff has always been more my focus, and part of that is privilege because my husband makes enough money that I don't have to pay bills doing that. And honestly, if I had to pay bills doing that, I'd probably go get a desk job anyway because it would be more stable. So what I put on my pricing page was I tried to make it very clear from the start because we all have those friends who say, well, do I get the friend rate? And do I, you know, can you knock this off? And can you knock that off? And but I saw it on Pinterest and blah, blah, blah. And so we've all got that. So what I've tried to distinguish is when you come to me, you're not buying cake, you are buying art that happens to be edible.
Right.
And you need to not compare it to Tesco or, you know, whatever grocery store. And if you want to pay, you know, a Walmart price, then go get a Walmart cake. And they will make a quick pipe sheet cake for you for, you know, $40 or whatever. Or a Tesco. I don't even know what a Tesco cake costs, but I'm sure it's like, it's going to be in the same ballpark. And they'll stick a piece of plastic flotsam and jetsam on it. And maybe even the face will be painted on evenly on that. Like, you know, and you know what, honestly, if you're getting it for a little kid who doesn't care, then maybe that is okay. I mean, I'm not even knocking grocery store cakes. That is a perfectly viable business. And I, as a consumer, wouldn't want to necessarily pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a thing either. But then I don't go to an artist and say, but I expect you to come down to my price level. So,
exactly. I'm not going to spend $800 on a 1-year-old's birthday cake.
No.
Because that's an age where they're not going to remember it. Other people do, who have the money or feel the need to show off in that manner, I guess, because you're making it for your friends and other people who are going to be there and see it.
Yeah, you're making
art. You're
not
really making it for your 1-year-old, because they, you know, they'll look at pictures of it in years to come and think that was a really cool cake, but that's a lot of money to spend, right? So, you know, I do get those orders in, don't get me wrong, but myself, I probably wouldn't spend that much money on a 1-year-old's birthday cake. I might go, you know, I just make a regular cake, because if your kid is happy that you made a cake for them, it doesn't have to be Mike McCary level. You made a cake for them. They're thrilled. Mm-hmm. My mom was in the kitchen and made a cake. So.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's part of why, I mean, I get other moms asking about cakes. And then when I start telling them how expensive I am, they usually go like, "Wah." But, you know, and then my next thing is, but why don't you make a cake? Oh, well, I could never make that. I'm like, yes, you can. You know, it's, I don't think they sell it anymore, but the Wilton 3D duck pan.
Yes.
I went out and bought that when Peo was approaching her first birthday, because I was tired. I was just so, I mean, God, she hadn't slept through the night ever by that point. And part of me, because I'd already done some cakes, I thought, well, maybe I need to make something fancier. But she liked ducks because she was a baby and they liked ducks. And I went and bought, I used the Michael's 40% coupon. So I don't know, I paid like $12 or something for the pan. And I made her this Wilton star tip. And like, I'm talking real Wilton cake here. And
yep.
No fondant, because I mean, babies don't want fondant. It was, you know, I made regular old basic buttercream, yellow stars. I think I put chocolate chip eyes on it and a little, then had a bit of extra yellow that I then made a bit orange for the beak. And I just patted it. I didn't have as many tools back then, whatever. You know, and she loved it.
Of course
she loved it. And, you know, the other people at the party loved it. And then, it became a whole thing that when she was potty training, it was the, if you keep your nappies dry for a week, you get to have a ducky cake. And in fact, then you even get to decorate the cake. And it became a big thing in our life, to the point that, one of our mutual friends who goes by the name of Ducky, pinged me years ago to say, I know you have this pan and they don't make it anymore. And no one in the, where are they, LA, wherever they're in, somewhere in California, and you know, somewhere with an actual, you know, urban marketplace. So it wasn't like right. They were in the middle of nowhere. But she's like, I've been to all these stores and none of them sell this cake. Would you send me Peo's? And I'm like, I think Peo might kill me if I send her that cake pan. And so I did some searching around and found a cake shop that was within reasonable driving distance for Californians who are used to driving. It wouldn't have been within reasonable British driving distance, but it was within reasonable California. And I said, this one is listing it on their site, so give them a call. And it turned out they had two left, and she went and bought it. And it was, for years, she was just like, oh, we're so happy that, you know, we got this cake pan. So, yeah, I mean, like, your kid doesn't care. Your kid doesn't. Well, I mean, we're being anti-sales here, but I mean, but that's part of my other mission too, is my mission is, that's the whole eat the evidence thing, is try making a cake. Worst case scenario, you have ugly cake, eat the evidence, no one needs to know. And when you, if you've got a shaped pan, I've got the stand-up bear pan, and you know, I've got the mini stand-up bear pan. You know, we've had play dates where we invite other kids over and they all make themselves a bear cake, you know, and no one's grading it. Like, it's just fun with cake. That always needs to be, even though when we make our art cakes, there needs to be still fun in cake, and there's you need to still be able to hang out with your kids or your friends' kids or your grandkids or whatever, you know, we're going to have a cake party. I mean, well, you guys are doing the gingerbread houses now for the cake club, and that's selling like I said it would.
It does really, really well, and it's nice because, as you know, doing gingerbread houses is a lot of work with all the baking and what have you, and then you've got all the candy and the mess and the making of the royal icing and sticking all the stuff to it. So it's expensive. It's a lot of work. With the cake club, we supply everything. So you just book a table, basically, and you can, I think, have four people doing one gingerbread house. And you come in. We have already put together the gingerbread house. We have oodles and oodles of candy. The royal is made. You show up. You make your beautiful gingerbread house, and you leave, and we clean up the mess. I mean, what could be better than that, really?
Yeah, no, it's a brilliant idea, and it's obviously been really lucrative.
We laugh because, getting back to the Wilton thing, you know, I've been doing cakes since God was in the army because I'm old, and I must have 100 Wilton pans up in my attic. Some of them are, you know, collector's pans, like my R2-D2 pan, or, you know, I've got the old Ninja Turtle pans and stuff like that. Because that's what everybody did when I was younger. When I was very young, I mean, I've been doing cakes since I was, you know, in grade school. And my mother had, and I can't think of what the brand name is, but there's a specific brand of coconut. And they had this little cake decorating book. And you'll still see pictures of these floating around on the internet. But they were ways to cut your circles and your squares and stuff into things like rabbits and butterflies and all this stuff. And so you take, you know, your round pan and you cut a little shape out of the top and a little shape out of the bottom, and you'd have a bow tie. And then the other bits would be the rabbit's ears, and, you know, it all formed together, and there suddenly you have a rabbit with a bow tie. So they had all these cool things. So when I was growing up, I used to make all these cakes for my brother's birthdays, and they still remember that I made all their birthday cakes. And I used to make 7-minute frosting, which I don't even really attempt to do now. You know, when I was just a kid, I used to make this is my favorite icing, and it was so lovely. But 24 hours later, that stuff was like a rock. It was hard as hell.
The cake's not supposed to last 24 hours, I think, at that level.
Yeah, right. So, but it was beautiful at the time, you know. Mm-hmm. One time when I was, I don't even know, I was probably 12, I screwed up and put in the salt as sugar, basically. It was inedible.
You told me that,
and
yes.
It was beautiful because I'd made this gorgeous sort of baby blue anniversary cake for my parents, and they had to scrape every bit of icing because it was inedible. And I think this was the same year. My parents always laughed that I've only ever burnt one thing in my life, and that was boiled eggs, believe it or not, that if you leave them on the stove until all the water runs out and a little bit longer, they will explode and hit the ceiling. So my dad loves to tell people, yeah, the only thing my daughter's ever burnt in her life is boiled eggs.
That is like a superhero power. Oh, my God. Oh, I had half a mind today when I was making Corin's belated birthday cake since everyone was so sick last week. I said to him that maybe I should, because in the past I've had the kids decorate cake, particularly Peo has helped decorate many daddy cakes. There's actually a really good video of the year she made him a globe with the ring of fire and tsunamis that were, I'll have to link to the video of little Peo explaining the death and mayhem that was the cake she was making for her father. But so I had the idea of that at some point today when I made this cake for him, that I would have the kids come help stick something on it, because he doesn't care what it looks like. He just wants a chocolate cake. Like, he is well beyond being impressed by what I do, because, like, he sees it all the time. So he's like, I don't want you to go to that effort. I just want cake for my face. So I made him my regular chocolate cake with a chocolate ganache, and I happen to have a bucket of satin ice dark chocolate, which I know is not that impressive to you, because you can walk down to a shop and get it, but that's an expensive import here. So, which I bought it on like a deep discount sale. So we're like savoring it. But yeah, so I was just like, I thought, well, I'm going to let the kids do it. Maybe I should be showing Robin how to mix the cake, or this is a great idea at like 9 o'clock this morning. And then both the kids were driving me so nuts today. and because we were trying to do some other house cleaning because we've been sick and everything's just a disaster in here. And then it got to the point that I had the cake covered, and I called out to him and I said, how's Robin being right now? And he's like, well, kind of okay. And then he spent the next minute and a half yelling at her for like five different things because she was well overtired and she hadn't slept for her nap. And yeah, she was being a right royal 4-year-old, you know. And so, and Peo had gotten in trouble earlier in the day. And so it just, as I was like, you know what? You're yelling at her enough that I'm just going to, I've wanted to play with this quilting embosser. I'm just going to go stick that around and stick on some gold trajets and we're going to call that a cake. But I mean, like, I do like to get them involved in doing stuff, but then sometimes you just need to get it done.
That is true.
I mean, I would consider letting Peo help with Robin's, but Robin wants such a specific thing, and Peo isn't always respectful of what Robin wants. I mean, you know, 11-year-old and a 3-year-old, and 4-year-old. I can't always let Peo just run with that. But I do need to do another kid decorating session in here with some of my friends' kids because it is so rewarding and fun and sticky.
Yeah, I was laughing because, you know, I guess it was last year for my nephew Liam's birthday, wanted the Cookie Monster cake. And I was like, when your 3-year-old or 4-year-old asks you for a cake like the one at Randall's, don't argue, just do that because otherwise there'll be tears.
That's right.
Because it doesn't look exactly like the one they want. I'm like, okay, fine, you know. And, you know, I hadn't done one of these ones like that in years where you're doing just the grass tip. That's basically what you're doing. You're pulling grass tip around the entire cake. But it was pretty cute. And I posted a picture of that. And I tell you, I got more likes on that picture than I had on any 3D sculpted cake I had done in years. And people are kind of impressed because it's, you know, not something that people do every day now. You know, you don't see so many of those kind of cakes. But, you know, growing up, it was all Wilson star tips, Wilson grass tips. You know, that's what you used. You had your stand-up teddy bears, and you were doing grass tip until your hand felt like it was going to fall off.
Mm-hmm. Well, that the first year I did the kid classes at our show, I did the monster cupcake, which, I mean, I didn't invent, but who invented that? We can't even find, you know, who made a shaggy monster with fondant eyes or chocolate chip eyes or whatever. And that was one of the classes on the Sunday. And the Sunday classes never sell as well, but that one sold. Kids were happy to come in and squirt grass tip colored icing all over cupcakes and make, you know, 6 eyes on it. And this one only has 1 eye. And, yeah, I mean, that is a great project. If anyone listening wants a project with kids, just load up a few grass tips, you know, with different colors and cupcakes and let the kids go to town because it's hilarious watching that stuff ooze out. The kids just, they just love that.
Speaking of kids' classes, I have a couple words with Sam Flaunt at the San Antonio show, and he is so excited about maybe teaching some classes at the Austin Cake Show. And he was over there talking with Sydney about transfers for eyes, and you know, he's going all around. He's got some really fun ideas, so I think we're going to end up with some cool classes from that.
Yeah, I was actually talking with his mom about that because she mentioned that she talked to you about it, and because they've got a Satin Ice sponsor and stuff, they're already lining up all their supplies and stuff, so it's even going to be easier for us. So those who are listening, you can come to the Austin show. Your kids can take a class with Sam. I'm going to be there as the official adult, but Sam will be the lead on the class. He's going to design these classes. He's going to be the real teacher. I'm just there so we can legally, you know, because we can't have a 12, I guess you'd be 13 at that point. We can't have a 13-year-old legally be in charge of other kids. But otherwise, they'll be totally Sam Plant classes at the show next year.
Yeah, he's a very sweet, very talented kid, so it'll be fun. I'm always looking forward to seeing what he's making, you know, for the show or various shows that he's in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's pretty, he needs to do like a book deal or his own YouTube channel or something.
Yeah, he's going to the cake fair in Orlando this year. I was talking to him and his mom about that, and that would be fun. I'd like to go to that. We'll see. I know Jennifer is going up to the New York show, which I'd also love to go to.
Yeah, Dawn was on a couple episodes ago listing all the shows she's going to, and because there's like a whole, I think, 4 or 5 week period where she's not home, because she did SoFlo, San Antonio, Australia, something else, and then she's like home for a week, and then it's New York. It's like, oh my God, I'm just like really glad to get her in between all that. I mean, part of me kind of is envious because like part of me wants to go to all these shows because I want to see the cakes and I want to hobnob with people and I want to do all that. And I, you know, I've got that, what's it called? The FOMO, fear of missing out, right? Like I want to be there. And then I think about all the flying that's involved and part of me is like, but I could also just sit here and knit.
I would love to have been in Australia because, you know, I've always got friends at the show. Benny Rivera was there. Mm-hmm. Scott Clark, who I absolutely adore, was there. Dawn was there. It just looked like so much fun. And the quality of the pieces that I saw pictures of looked absolutely stunning.
That giant burger thing?
Oh, I know. Just brilliant.
Yeah.
So, I get that because when everybody was at SoFlo, I was like, why am I not at SoFlo? Everybody's at SoFlo. Everybody's at SoFlo but me.
Yeah, that's how, well, there was, because someone, I can't remember who it was, someone posted on Facebook that feeling like everyone was there, but then there were like 20 people within 5 minutes going, me too, me too. And we were like, we should have a support group if I can't go to SoFlo.
I think that was Michelle Boyd, actually. And she, of course, she was doing a food artist thing in San Antonio, so she couldn't make it because of that. So, of course, I think Mallory was there, and even Julia Usher was there, that was a real jealousy-making thing. I was like, Julia Usher's there, and I'm not.
I know. I really want to suck up to her to be on the show, in part because I do want this show to not just be Cake. I do want it to be Cookie People, too. I do both. I don't do cookies well, but I have high interest, low skills, just because my royal icing kind of sucks, to be honest. But yeah, I would love to have Julia on, but I need to find a good way to suck up to her. And also because I've known people have been so busy with these shows and travel that it's hard to suck up to people when you know that they're not even home.
Right.
Like Jackie Kelly. I'm kind of, although I think she's been back for a few days now, so maybe I can suck up to Jackie soon. Although, but she's...
I got lots of Jackie hugs while I was in San Antonio. Every time she went by, she's like, oh, I get to have another hug. So I was like, oh, well, that was fun.
She's such a sweetheart.
Not Dawn, because she was so busy between her classes. And, of course, they were judging in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was just on the run.
Well, and they literally had to leave early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had to leave on the Saturday.
Right. So they had said that they were doing, because I watched one of the lives that they did together in Dawn's dining room, that they were saying how they were going to make an effort on their judging sheets to really spell out all of the stuff, that because they weren't going to get to do any meet and greet after. And I'm like, God, you guys are amazing. You really thought that out.
Did you see that one of our favorites, Tyler Gary, is in Wales? He was doing the roundabouts with Kerry Griffiths, being shown around in Cardiff.
Oh, I didn't see that. No.
Yeah, and I was so happy for him. You know, I just love Cardiff. It's just so beautiful up there. So I was happy for Tyler that he got a chance to get up there and have a good look around. And there was even some dragons flying over Cardiff Castle. So
I did see that. I saw when Carrie posted the dragon. Yes.
Very nice.
But we should probably also talk about our day of sharing coming. I should say "our" as if I can come, but like I'm sorry, I can't cost justify flying over for the day of sharing, because when you sent me that test email earlier, I was a little bit like, oh, look who you've got going. So go ahead, announce, drop the names.
So I'm really excited. For people who don't know what a day of sharing is, and I hear that a lot, even at our meetings, new people come along and they're like, what on earth is a day of sharing? It is basically a fundraiser for a club, and it's a day where we spend the whole day together. You pay a set amount to come in, somewhere between $35 and $45. You come in, you have a registration process, you get a little goodie bag, we have breakfasty items, and of course here in Round Rock, which is where ours at, we get the famous Round Rock donut, so that's something to look forward to. Everybody gets comfortable in the seats and we start demonstrations. So we have a couple of demonstrations in the morning and then you get lunch, which we provide. And then there's a couple of demonstrations in the afternoon. We have raffles. We have five or six nice vendors. And this year we've got Sheer Celebrations, Cake Supply World, Yvette from Amazing Cake Artistry, Bees Baked Goods, Tessie Brooker from Novelties. And Leanne from Leanne's Cake Supply. So we've got some great vendors coming in. But every year, I like to take a look out there and see who's doing something cool in the area, invite some people who aren't, you know, at every day of sharing so that it helps, you know, to attract more people. And this year I looked at our, you know, our own cake club, and I asked Sarah Weber to come because not only does Sarah do really cool cookies, but she does great cakes as well. So she's multi-talented, really nice lady. So she's coming, and I asked Jennifer Reese to come. And I don't know if you recall her cake at the show this year, but she had a show cake, and it was a stacked blue cake with a woman down the side with the beautiful roses. It was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I think it took like second in the category, didn't it?
What's that?
I think it took second in that show category, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that. She definitely placed in the show cake category. It was a beautifully done cake, and she owns Good Gosh Ganache. She does wonderful work. So I reached out to Jennifer and asked her if she would be willing to come and do our day of sharing, and she very graciously agreed to do that. We have another person from our club, and he moved here maybe a year ago. His name is Anthony Wright, and he studied under people like Eddie Spence, and your people here in England will know who Eddie Spence is.
Yeah, everyone knows who Eddie Spence is here, yeah.
Royal icing person in the world. He's just amazing. And he's done a lot of royal cakes. He's got a book, The Art of Royal Icing, I think it's called.
One of the most
spectacularly beautiful books on royal icing ever. And for the longest time, I kept it on my bedside table just to read. So Anthony's coming, and he's going to do some kind of royal art, royal icing work. But I don't know exactly what yet. And our headliner, who we always like to bring in somebody a little bit more famous to come and do classes afterwards. And this year we've been very fortunate to get Colette Peters coming. So I'm super excited about that. She's doing 4 beautiful classes afterwards. And she's doing just like half day classes because we thought, you know, this would be really nice and it'll make them a little bit more affordable for everybody to be able to come and take a class with somebody at Colette's level. So super excited about that. That's July 9th. It'll be in Round Rock at our usual place, the Wingate by Wyndham Hotel and Conference Center in Round Rock. So it's a whole day thing. I think it's a really good value. At, you know, if you sign up early, it's like $35. You get breakfast, you get lunch, you get demos, you get access to really great raffles, you get goodie bags.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wish I could come. Because when you sent that test email out, because you had messaged me on Facebook, but I hadn't seen the message on Facebook. I just saw an email coming from you. And so your email goes to a special box that I always notice. Not very many people get that, but I pay attention to Kyla email. And I was like, oh, test email. Oh, okay, it's for Dave Sherry. Okay, I'm like, oh, Colette! She's got Colette! I was so shocked by it. It took me a second to make sure this wasn't a different Colette. Because, I mean, she's so iconic. It's not someone who we see doing every show anymore.
Right.
And I mean, she's obviously, she's got lots of books and she's done a lot of Food Network and stuff like that, but she's not doing the circuit all the time. So,
And she's good friends with Anthony, who's also one of our demonstrators. So, I think he also reached out to her and said, hey, why don't you come? You can visit with me. You can do this day of sharing. It'll be a lot of fun. So
that is awesome. Yeah. I wish I could come, but you know, 600 pounds for airfare.
After that, we've got another well-known, UK person, Stephen Bennison, coming in, mm-hmm. who owns Sugar Artistry, in the UK. He's an author. He's an inventor. He makes his own cutters and molds and, you know, just, great guy. He works for City College of Bath, has for a number of years. So he really has baking chops as well. He teaches cooking, you know, from beginning to end. And just probably one of the nicest guys I've ever known. Just a true gentleman. Really, really nice. And I love his wife as well. So he's going to be here teaching a few classes. And we're actually, our day of sharing this year is themed as Christmas in July. So
Stephen
was hoping to be here for that, and we had to change our date. So he's doing a little Christmas number as well as one of his classes. So yeah, lots of good things coming down the path.
And those are good deals too, because you get the cutters or stencils, whatever he's using, you get that as part of the class.
Yeah, really nice ones. You know, there's some of them are cutters and some of them are stencils, and I think some of them are both. And the the classes aren't priced exorbitantly either, you know, especially for like a full day class for like under $200, and you take a cool mat home. So yeah. You really can't complain about that.
No, that's a good deal. Yeah.
Has a lot of beautiful cutters and stuff. And, you know, if you look at him in the shop, you're like, oh, well, you know, that's a really cool cutter. But when you take a class with Steven, he's got like 12 uses for every one of his cutters. So He can do all kinds of cool things where he's turning them inside out and he's looping them back on themselves. And you're like, oh, I would have never even thought of that. And honestly, I learned so much in Steven's classes over the years because he's been doing it for a long time and he's got some really clever techniques. And sometimes we're in class and he pull some technique out and we're like, oh my gosh, I've been doing this the hard way.
I remember because one of my first day of sharings, he came out and he was just making the things twist around or you know, if they're colored on both sides, then when you twist, it can be a little flourish, but then just by giving it a twist, it gives so much life to the cake, and it's, but you're still just using the one cutter over and over and over again, so it's really genius work.
Yeah, absolutely. I was looking at some of Sydney's mats the other day, and I was thinking, you know, Stephen's little, like, purse molds and stuff, his purse cutters, would probably work really well in that kind of mat format that you could do those transfers on that she does. I don't know if you've seen those transfers that Sydney does now. They're just incredible. So they leave behind this beautiful pattern on there. And I thought, you know, Stephen's purses would be really cute done in that. I might have to try that out.
And put those two together and get a whole collaborative line going.
Exactly. Yeah. Be something new and innovative.
Yeah. Well, I like that.
That's the innovator. That's my favorite word.
I did see Susie Zimmerman posting about the Texas Ices Day of Sharing coming up too. And so I'm hoping to get her on in June to talk about that. But I gave her the choice. I said, you can be on before it to pump it up, or after it to talk about it, or both if you want.
Yeah, she's another one that's hard to tie down because she's just always going, going, going.
Yeah, well, everyone's so busy, especially, I mean, when she was like, oh, absolutely, before a show, and I was thinking, yeah, you're probably actually going to be way busier than we both think, you know, a month out. But I should say, you know, anyone who's listening to this, I need people to come on. So all you have to do to come on is tell me you want to come on the show. Like, I mean, it is really that easy right now. And we set up one of these little chats, really late night for me. In fact, it's almost midnight for me, but so like it's almost 6 o'clock for you. I want to have you on as often as possible because I love talking to the Cake Nexus.
Makes me think, though, have you seen the things that Sydney has now at Simi?
You know, you were mentioning them, and when you mentioned them to me recently in a conversation, I was thinking I need to get with her because I have some Mike McCary homework to do gummy eyes, like to do like a gelatin eye that doesn't sort of wither up. I mean, because I can make you one
work too, because she's got the eyeball mold, and then she's got the little disc that is the iris. And it's the same kind of transfer thing, but you can layer it between the two of the isomalt, you know, your top and bottom, and layer it in the middle. And then you have that whole reflective quality of a real eye. And that's what Liz Merrick does. And it's really pretty.
Yeah, that's what I've been meaning to sort of play with is with the gummy gelatin stuff is you really need the depth of that cornea. And so you need a mold that's the right shape for that that bowl look. So that way, when you look at it from side to side, the colored part, the iris and the pupil all change as you move direction. So yes. I've been thinking about that for some time. So yeah, I probably have to look at those and, I'll just go shopping with Sydney. That's not ever a hard thing to do. And so I just featured her in the last episode talking about vendors and how I'd bought the geode mold at her stand.
Those are really cool. And she did a whole peacock at this one as part of the demonstrations at San Antonio. And it was a long peacock, but she did it in such a way that she could fold it down a tiered cake. And it was really cool, just beautiful, because she's got that paper that's got all the feathers and stuff there. And she's basically layering the isomalt on top of that and feathering it out along the peacock feathers. It was really beautiful.
She's amazing.
Yeah, always, you know, coming up with something new. She's just super clever and, you know, they're all just so nice. It was really, really good to just be able to hang out with them and go to dinner and chit chat.
Yeah, I want to hang out with them and go to dinner. I think I did once after one of our shows, but yeah, I want to do that. I want to be at the cool kids table. Well, I don't even know if that's the cool kids. It's the nerd. It's the cake nerds. I like to be with the hang out with the cake nerds and talk about weird things and can you and what if and yeah.
Yeah, I'm always doing that to Sydney. I send her links every once in a while. I'm like, hey, Sid, maybe you could do this. This would be really cool. And she's like, yeah, I'll give that a try one of these times.
Yeah.
Like, she needs me giving her more ideas because she's always got something cool and clever planned.
Well, she has time at least. Well, I mean, she's busy. But, I mean, because like I said, Mike gave me this homework from NEC, and it's been in my head, and another week has gone by, and I haven't done it.
I still think it was pretty impressive the time that you made that layered ball out of gelatin and you bounced it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was with Jennifer's mold. Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. I've never seen anybody else do that. So you're
That was a giant ball. What was it about? Must have been about 6-inch solid ball of gummy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Mike McCary can make modeling chocolate do whatever he wants, but you're pretty good at making gelatin do whatever you want.
Yeah. And yeah. I need to learn more, though. I want to learn more with agar so I can do it more for the vegans.
Right.
And so I bought some Dr. Oetker veggie gel, which I think is basically agar or agar, something like it. But yeah, so that's, again, it's all these things I have in my head to do. And then, you know, once Robin's in full-time school, then I may actually get sitting down time to do them without it being, my kid's in school. I have 2 hours. Okay. I got to eat lunch. Oh, my God. I got to go pick her up.
Right.
So... lots of exciting things coming this fall, I hope.
I hope so.
Is there any chance of us luring you out to NEC this year?
You know, there is a possibility. I'm working on something for some friends who wanted to do a day of sharing type event in Italy, and that's in October. So, end of October. So, if I happen to be in Italy at the end of October, then it might work out for me to be at NEC in November. So, we'll see, you know, we'll see how that works out. I mean, it's difficult coordinating something like that where you have to get a hotel. And I have Italian friends who are willing to read the agreements with the hotels and go look at them and give me some advice there. But it's a bit of a daunting thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to arrange, you know, to take people to NEC because, you know, they speak English there. I can read the contracts. I'm not actually arranging an event so much as getting people to an event, but this would be actually arranging an entire event with demonstrators and people coming in from other countries and what have you. So it's a big undertaking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope it works out because that sounds cool.
Me too. It'd be fun.
And then you could come to NEC.
Yeah, that would be a good hardship.
So I should probably let you go because I said that 10 minutes ago, but this is how we live our life all the time and why Corin knows not bother ask what time I'm coming home when I've been hanging out with you. But anyway, so I will say thank you for this and hopefully we will get to check in with you maybe after your day of sharing or possibly before, depending on how it's all going.
Sounds good.
Talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Cake Nexus!
Okay, that was pretty awesome. I always love having Kyla on my Cake Nexus, but I should make it clear that we are sort of teasing Mike McCary a lot when we talk about him being the cake god. I started calling him that years ago, and he's so nice. This is the thing. Mike is so talented and so nice, and he keeps saying, why do you call me that? I'm not the cake god. And then it became a thing that Kyla and I did more because now it was funny to call him the cake god. So I'm going to keep calling him that, and so is Kyla, and it's caught on, and other people do too. But we should just be really clear that Mike is also super humble about his work, and he's not the one asking us to call him the cake god. Now, at the Austin show, he was really super busy, and I didn't get a chance to interview him. We're hoping that's going to come again another time, unless he's too mad at me now from this show, if he even has a chance to hear it. But he was super nice, and he gave me a really quick cake cremation for you guys. So here he is, the cake god himself, totally not approving of us calling him that, but we're gonna anyway. Here he is with some encouraging words for you.
Hey, this is Mike McCary, and whatever you're imagining is happening, it's not really happening, it's just late. So keep working on your cake.
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and if you'd like to hear your voice on the show or you want to discuss anything you've heard, get in touch with me on Facebook at facebook.com/eattheevidencebykimberlychapman, all one word. Or go to eattheevidence.com/podcast, remembering to put dashes between the words, so it's eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. The show is also on Twitter at eatevidence. If you've got Kim Chapman friended on Facebook, you can leave me a voicemail message there to record your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Show notes and music credits can be found at the Eat the Evidence website in the podcast section. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.